cartoon characters may hold the secret to making your agency's progress reviews more valuable. Performance stat meetings are supposed to be a constructive opportunity for your employees to collaborate on your agency's priorities, figure out solutions together. But more often than not, they may just be boring. John Kaminsky, senior fellow and associate partner at the IBM Center for the Business of Government, writing about the secret sauce of effective progress reviews. And, John, we have a link to your what you're writing at federalnewsradio.com, but you draw this connection between Buzz Lightyear and Nemo and federal agency progress reviews, and I wonder how you got there from here.
Well, I was reading a fascinating article in Fast Company magazine. It was written by the president of Pixar, Ed Catmull. And he says that, the way they managed 14 box office cartoon hits in a row was the way they managed.
The idea of candor is what he goes right to. The secret, he says in this piece, is candor. A hallmark of a healthy creative culture is that its people feel free to share ideas, opinions, and criticisms. That sounds to me like not just what the performance stat meetings were supposed to be, but all of them were supposed to be, the tech stat sessions for IT and so on. And yet I hear from people who have been in them that the fears were realized in some cases when these meetings first became known, when we knew that they were going to start to happen, in that a lot of time gets spent just figuring out what went wrong and not necessarily how we turn it around. And I imagine that's really an environment where candor can disappear pretty quickly, John. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. In fact, what Catmull says is he creates something. He doesn't call it performance stat. He calls it his brain trust. And he says it's our primary delivery system for straight talk. And his role in the meeting is to make sure that the commitment to candor is protected. He says, quote, "This part of our job is never done because you can't totally eliminate the blocks to candor." And what he does is he lays out, and he's very candid, blunt. He says, early on, all of our movies suck because people who take on complicated creative projects become lost at some point, and his brain trust provides the stand back and the perspective to him and his team as to what's going wrong. But they can't see it themselves, even though they're a brilliant bunch.
What I see when I read your piece and then when I click through to the Fast Company piece is something that it seems to me should be very easily replicable in the federal government. The concept behind this brain trust and the concept behind what I think the spirit of all of the stats is to get a bunch of smart people who are experts about a particular area in a room together and say, here are the issues that we're up against. It doesn't matter why we're here or how we got here, except to the extent that it will help us understand how to move forward. The whole point is, how do we figure out how to either fix or improve what we've got in front of us? And that seems, with all of the smart people that you and I both know are involved in all of these issues, like that should be something that should be very doable for government.
Yes. But the other thing that I thought was interesting is he says that his brain trust doesn't have any authority. The brain trust itself doesn't make decisions. He says that's key. He says that affects the dynamics of the group and the way that it works, because they're there to puzzle out what the root cause of a problem is, not to find a solution. The solution is something that the leader and his or her team have to come up with. But the brain trust itself is, why is it where we're at? What are some of the different paths we might take, but not to come up with a group solution?
So if we apply that twist then to the government setting, in your mind, what does that look like? How does it look different than what agencies are doing now?
Well, and it actually isn't too different from the way the successful performance stat meetings that I have seen, and I haven't seen a whole lot, but the ones that I have seen work, is the secretary or the deputy secretary uses it to understand what the issues are, to puzzle out and bring, you know, all these experts in the room that really understand the issue, to have them say what's going on. In fact, in one case, in HUD, I understand that the secretary was so over-engaged that they asked him to stand back and let a career senior executive come forward and ask some of the questions of his peers so that they were hearing it from somebody that wasn't as engaged as the secretary was to begin teasing things out, so there would be candor.
The candor element is one that, I mean, it's not just government that suffers from this. I've heard any number of people who work in
the Pixar story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the candor thing, to get people to understand that you really can say what you think, and you really can present information that might be uncomfortable, and you really can say things because ultimately they're going to contribute to solutions. It must be the hardest part of this to get over, but then once you get over it, I imagine it's pretty easy to see the bright light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, what Catmull says is it isn't the candor that counts. He says, the candor is only valuable if the person on the receiving end is open to it and willing to let go of his or her ideas if something isn't working.
John Kaminsky of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, writing about success in progress reviews and making your mark as you're moving along through various programs. That's an ego thing, I guess, and that's a mindset thing as much as it is a technical or leadership thing, I suppose, John.
Absolutely.
Is there a way for someone as a leader, maybe at that secretary level, who's working with somebody a level or two below him or her, to be able to speak to the person who is maybe not hearing it, hearing the sentiment, hearing the candor in the way that he or she should, and help to kind of coach him up a little bit? Because if you put, I also imagine, as freely as things will flow once you can take that candor and deal with it, until you do, that must be a tremendous roadblock.
Yes, and that's something that depends on the personality of the leader. Oftentimes, really good leaders are open to having mentors or coaches, oftentimes from other agencies or even outside.
The brain trust meetings that you describe in this piece, and I mentioned we have it linked later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Are there things about them, as you read, that maybe wouldn't apply in a government setting, or that maybe wouldn't work as well as they do in a private organization?
Well, not really. I mean, obviously, it's the dynamic of the meeting itself. It's not necessarily the topic. I mean, obviously, in dealing with Toy Story, you're dealing with storytellers, not necessarily people that are trying to resolve poverty or trying to deal with housing or something. But the dynamics, the human dynamics, are pretty much the same. The thing that I thought was interesting in Catmull's observation, he says, you don't want to be at a company where there's more candor in the hallway than in the rooms where the decisions are being made.
You've probably been in a couple of federal agencies where that's the case in your lifetime, haven't you, John?
Oh, yes.
This is a terrific piece, and I thank you for coming on and talk about it with me. I'm going to link it, as I mentioned, both the piece that you wrote and the original piece from Fast Company on the webpage later this afternoon. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you.